Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He's been with MRN since 2015. He joins MRN co-anchors Jeff Striegel and Alex Hayden in the booth each week. You can hear live coverage of the Daytona 500 starting this Sunday at 1:30 p.m. right here on 92.3 The Fan. We welcome in the 1989 NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Rookie of the Year in 84. He's won 55 races. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Rusty Wallace joins us on the show. Rusty, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, guys. Great being on your show. I'm down here at Daytona right now getting ready for the big 150 qualifiers tonight in Daytona. And thank gosh, the sun's shining, and it's going to be 75 degrees here today. I bet you wish you were here.
Oh, my God, do I ever.
Look,
Rusty,
at the smile right
no
now
idea.
On Ken's face.
You Rusty, have no clue.
Rusty, I feel bad because Kenny's been looking forward to this for so long, and I'm somebody who's actually covered Daytona, and I didn't know anything about actual racing. So Ken is very jealous that I got the opportunity to have that experience, and yet Ken knows the ins and the outs. He knew your nickname, your car nickname, the number. I knew none of that stuff, so I'm flying blind here.
Well, I tell you what, you're going to learn real quick, and I appreciate you being so kind, but I love this sport. I love working with the guys at MRN, and my gosh, one thing we hate, though, is bad weather, and my gosh, if we're good weather now. I mean, it's everything in the world when you're a driver. You're down here in Daytona trying to get ready for the biggest race of the year, and today and all the way through Sunday, they're forecasting clear skies and at least 75 degrees, so man, we're going to have a good race weekend, finally.
Rusty Wallace joining us on the show. I'm looking forward to that this weekend and obviously looking forward to tonight. Hey, real quick, did you like driving the Blue Deuce better or the black number two?
Well, you know, I was known with the Blue Deuce, but I had the black and gold number two Miller Genuine Draft car for what was it, about 3 or 4 years. And still to this day, I think that's one of the coolest looking cars. That thing, that color scheme was so awesome on that car. So I got to tell you, even though I was a Blue Deuce guy, my favorite car was always that black and gold one.
Oh, my God. It speaks right to my heart. Rusty, okay, you're one of the guys who, again, you're a legend in racing, and we mean that sincerely. But you know, we've talked about NASCAR here and there, and there's a lot of young guys, and I got to be honest with you, Rusty, there's a lot of young guys I just don't know too much about. And one of the things that I worry about with NASCAR is that in your generation, there were a lot of guys who came up the hard way. They resonated with middle America. Now you got a lot of young guys. Maybe they came from money. Maybe they're second or third generation drivers who also were able to provide them. How does a young driver connect with middle America now and bring race fans back to the track and back to NASCAR?
I think you got to be really willing to get out there and do every doggone interview you can and help grow yourself and grow this sport. I mean, that's what I love working with the media. I love telling the stories. I love going to all these different events that Miller Brewing Company had me go to, and I did that. And I'm not saying a lot of guys are not doing that now, but my advice to them is make yourself available and build your brand and help build NASCAR at the same time. And you're right. I mean, doggone it. I mean, I've retired. Dale Earnhardt lost his life. Terry Labonte's gone now. He's retired. Tony Stewart, he's retired. Jeff Gordon's retired. The list goes on and on and on. So we got these new guys now, which the new crop, in my opinion, is being led by Chase Elliott. Elliott's got a great last name with Bill, his father. But some of the new guys, a lot of people don't know, like the kid that's on the pole for the Daytona 500, William Byron. Probably a lot of people never heard of him.
Well, and the first thing they bring, Rusty, the first thing we bring up when people talk about William Byron, I guess we have to, it's, well, he's driving Jeff Gordon's number 24. And it's like, well it's got to be Williams at some point.
Yeah, it does. And you just, I mean, that's how you say it. He's driving Jeff Gordon's car. Well, that kid doesn't want to be remembered like that, I don't think. He wants to have his own identity. But, hey, it's something that NASCAR is going to have to keep pushing these guys out into the audience of mainstream America and introduce them who these new guys are. And if they got to tie them into the cars that they're driving now that used to be driven by Rusty Wallace, Jeff Gordon, or whoever, so be it. There's no problem with that. But, hey, that what you're talking about now is what NASCAR's working so hard on. And that question you just said about how do we build this thing again is a tough one, and it's on everybody's mind. But these guys are going to have to get out there and win races. And above all, this might sound crazy, they're going to have to do some controversial things that makes you go, oh, my gosh, did you see that? Oh, my gosh, I love this guy or hate this guy. Mm-hmm. They're just going to have to do stuff like that.
Lead analyst for Motor Racing Network, that's Rusty Wallace, a legend, joining us on the hotline. What is it like, unlike any other sport out there, where that race down at Daytona kicks off the entire season with the biggest race? What is that like? Because no other sport has anything like that.
Well, I mean, for me, I love it because it wakes up all the couch potatoes. Guys have been sitting at home and women that been waiting for NASCAR to get going again. We don't start with just a small race. We start with the biggest race of the year. And, man, that puts shock therapy right into it, gets them all jacked up. At least it does me. And, man, we got all the right ingredients this week for a good race. We got a bunch of fast Chevrolets, a bunch of fast Fords. We got a bunch of fast Toyotas. We got everybody ready to go and cranked up. So I love the big race being at the beginning of the year. And then, obviously, the last race of the year down here in Homestead, Florida, for the championship week. So, yeah, we start off in Florida. We end in Florida.
Rusty, for someone who's never been to Daytona, never gotten a chance to experience that track, what is it like going up to the 31 degrees bank and walking up there and having to crawl back down? And what is it like actually racing around that? Because television does not do it justice.
Well, when you go out to the track, if you ever got an opportunity to, say, walk down turn 3 and 4, 1 and 2, and start at the bottom of the track and just walk up it with your own 2 feet, you're going to get about halfway up. You're going to go, how in the world can a car stay stuck to this big angle of banking? And you won't even understand it. But once you get in a car and you get up to about 150 miles an hour, that real big banking angle doesn't seem so much of a banking angle when you get up to that speed. The track seems flatter the faster you go. And so, I mean, it really takes a lot of banking angle to hold a car going that fast at the corner. I mean, these guys are approaching the corner right at about 205 miles per hour. They're never getting out of the throttle. Now, in qualifying and practice, they'll never get out of the throttle. But in the race, as that draft kicks in, where they start sucking up in a bump of all the cars just because of the slipstream effect, you got to get in and out of the gas, or else you run over the guy and you hit him. So, and as the tires wear, too, you'll have to roll out of the throttle a little bit. But that banking angle is what you're really relying on to hold that car planted firmly to the ground.
Rusty Wallace joining us on the show. I know you for running always very well at Bristol, but you always ran well at Super Speedways. And 93 was a big year for you because you always ran well, but you had two major accidents during that time, especially the Talladega one. Can you take me through that? That where you went? How many times did you go over in the Talladega race?
No, that race there went end over end about 25 times, I think it was, at Talladega. Probably the worst wreck I ever had in my life, that particular one was you're talking about. And I had a great car all day long, led the race almost every single lap right to the end with like 5 laps to go, and it started raining. And I had the late Dale Earnhardt Sr. right on my bumper. They threw the red flag. Him and I got out of the cars. We talked about it. We said, man, we go back to green. These cats are going to come at us and pass us because of the draft. And then we're just going to have to run it back down and try to get around them. Well, sure enough, they passed us, and coming at the checkered flag, coming down the front straightaway, I was had a big head of steam. I picked off two or three guys coming at the line, and then Earnhardt had a big run on me, too, and he tried to go underneath me. And when he tried to go underneath me, I went down to block him. And his right front fender caught my left rear quarter panel, and that baby turned sideways. It went into air. It flipped, and the body flew off the car. The motor flew out of it. In a helicopter, flew me over to Birmingham Hospital, and had a broken left wrist and blackened eyes and a bunch of beat-up bones, but that was about it. That was my worst wreck, and I survived it, and I got real lucky that day.
When you did that, did you think about walking away?
Well, no, not that time. I didn't think about walking away. What kind of really got me is after I won a lot of races and got a lot done in this sport and probably wanted everything I could except Daytona, we go to Daytona for another big race, and then when Dale Earnhardt lost his life that day right in front of me, and I went on to finish third in the 500 that particular race. And I walked up and hit the wall, and I drove past and then went to the hospital and learned that he passed away. And the next week, it really got me thinking. It really got me thinking, man, how much longer do I want to stay pushing this deal, you know? Because the late Bill France Jr., who owns NASCAR, came up to me and said, hey, man, you've accomplished everything. You know, there's a lot of stuff you could do in this sport besides just keep pushing your luck. And I never looked at it that way, but when Earnhardt lost his life, it made me scratch my head a little bit. So, well, what am I doing? I want everything there is to win. Just do I just keep on going? But then television came along. I had an opportunity to go to work for ESPN for 10 straight years. And I said, you know, this is the time. Let's go for it. And that's what I did.
Rusty Wallace joining us on the show. You said you got out of the car in 93. You talked with Dale. And then I remember the incident at Bristol where he spun you and then you might have thrown a water bottle at him. I don't know. That's alleged. I didn't see
yeah,
any video.
I remember that.
So when you would talk to him about some strategy and stuff, was there always some in the back of your mind going, yeah, I know, he's saying what he's saying, and I'm always going to have to look out for him?
That's a great question. And off the racetrack, him and I were really good friends. In fact, our families went on some vacations down to Bahamas together, renting some boats and stuff like that. I had a great time. But, man, every single time I got him on the racetrack, if we were just logging laps and we're halfway through the race, that's one thing. But as we got down close to the end of the race, I really didn't trust what he was telling me or what he was doing. He was an aggressive guy, man. He was going for the money. He was going for the win, and I knew that. And he would surround himself with his own team, and he'd really get aggressive. And so I knew what I was up against. But, you know, like I said, off the track, totally different person, an awesome, fun guy. On the track, I knew what I was dealing with and knew how to treat him, and that's just how I always treated Earnhardt. You know, you couldn't be too buddy-buddy with him too tight because you knew you're going to get bit, you know. So I was always a little bit careful with him.
Man, I know I get annoyed with people on my five-minute commute into work when I'm driving behind people. I can't even imagine what it's like with that kind of competition. Rusty Wallace joining us on the hotline. So in every sport, we talk about how to fix baseball, how to fix football, how to fix basketball. Do you get offended when people talk about, you know, whether it's the end of restrictor plate racing, and I know that's going to be a big controversy going forward at Talladega and at Daytona. Do you get offended when people talk about that, or do you say, hey, we need to evolve, we need to stay sharp, and we need to be able to recruit young fans?
No, I don't get offended whatsoever because I listen to them wide open. I mean, you just wish that there's a lot of people make these decisions. It's not me, that's for sure. Sometimes I could make the decisions. I could just run in the top floor of the NASCAR office and say, quit messing around. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's get right to it and get it done. But, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, the stars that everybody remembered are retired now. And, you know, the sport is really popular. I mean, we're going to have 101,000 people in the grandstands here at the California Speedway. A couple races later, it's going to be sold out. The Phoenix International Raceway is sold out. But there's a lot of them that aren't. And, you know, the heyday is not where it's not what it used to be. I mean, I'm really, really proud that I got to live the heyday. I got to be right in the middle when the sport was the most popular. We went to Bristol, Tennessee, man. There was 158,000 people in the grandstands every single race. And stuff like that was cool. But right now, we got to build what's popular. And one thing I've noticed is that people's attention span is way less than it used to be. There's just no doubt about that. So I've been for having less races per year. I've been for having shorter races to meet that attention span. But NASCAR is working real hard at keeping the racing really good on their racetrack. And that's the reason that after we leave Daytona, this particular race, we go to the next one, Atlanta, Georgia, the rules you're going to see there are totally different. There's more downforce and there's less horsepower. And what they're trying to do is get the cars to draft up and run bumper to bumper and be able to pass more. So they're working hard on their end to try to make the competition better. And hopefully the young drivers are working hard on their end to be more popular and be mainstream names in every whole household in America, like, you know, we were back in the day. So, we know what's going on, and now we just got to work hard at making it better and fix it.
Rusty, I got to say something to you before we let you go. And I promise, don't hang up on me, because I promise I'll put a nice bow on it here. As a fan growing up as a kid, I absolutely hated you, and my family did, because we were big-time Dale Earnhardt fans. But I want to thank you now, because I absolutely love you as an analyst, and I love your career, and you're one of the guys that got me to love NASCAR as a kid, and I'll always be thankful to you. I want to tell you that, and I want you to understand that, because it's a big, big part of my life, and I sincerely thank you for it.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I'm not offended whatsoever, because, I mean, when I get brought up in the same sentence as Dale Earnhardt Sr., and he, in my opinion, was one of the best drivers out there. And I was running side-by-side with him for many years. I mean, I can't tell you how many races we went to where I was racing him. And they used to even call it the Rusty and Dale Show. We had such a good rival going on. But when we lost to him, man, it was a tough deal, but really, really tough deal. But thanks a lot for the pulling and hating for me.
Rusty, it's a pleasure, man, and I'm looking forward to listening to you. Again, love having you on. Thank you very, very much. You're one of the greatest. All the best to you and yours, my friend.
Buddy, I really, really appreciate it. Again, tonight is the big 150 qualifiers here in Daytona. We'll be live on Motor Racing Network. And then again, we got the big Daytona 500, like you mentioned, starts at 1:30. We'll be live on MRN with a lot of analytical talk. We'll be covering every aspect of what's going on. I got a feeling it's going to be one of our best broadcasts of this beautiful weather that's going on. Motor Racing Network's 50th broadcast of the Daytona 500. So it's going to be a big night for us.
Well, we're honored to be right here, the home here in Cleveland, Ohio, in Northeast Ohio as well, right here on 92.3 The Fan. Rusty, thank you again, my friend. Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Rusty Wallace, the legend, joining us on the show.
You were downright giddy to see the smile. I haven't seen a smile on Ken's face. Part of it's because, you know, he has to share the microphone with me. I've not seen a smile on Ken's face that long in a very long time.
I swear to God, the coverage, the connection for the race will be much better than Rusty's phone. I can promise you that. 1:30 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Check it out. I wish people could see the smile on my face right now.
I wonder how many times he gets that. People who are huge Dale fans be like, "Man, I used to hate you, but you know, I appreciate you now." It's almost like a Hogan Piper type thing. You know, where you pick your side and there you go. And then as time goes on, you learn to appreciate both.
I'm sure he got off the phone and goes, "Yeah, some dumb hillbilly and his whole family hated me over freaking Dale Earnhardt who tried to spin me out at Talladega."
I'm watching it, Kenny. You told me to watch it. The flip at Daytona, what was it, 1993? I'm watching it right now. I don't know how you get up from that.
It was at my uncle's house.
I have no idea. A couple black eyes, he said, a bunch of broken bones and a broken wrist. And that's it? Watch that. And again, we talk about how football players who have to make a determination after a couple concussions whether they're going back into football. How do you see that wreck and then say, you know what, and experience that wreck and be in the middle of that wreck and go airborne, okay, in front of 100,000 people and then say, you know what, I got to get back to work. I got to get back in the car. How many people today would do that?
It's just what they did, man. And it's why that was one of the greatest generations of drivers that we'll ever see.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.